On the record. On News Talk.
With Pinergy. Supplying energy with insight to forward-thinking Irish businesses.
Now, the Citizens Assembly met online yesterday to discuss the issue of gender-based violence, which is a serious and important issue. It's increased with the restrictions caused by the pandemic, and this was already in the calendar as part of the group's broader deliberations on the issue of gender equality. But it, of course, has become much more timely given the conversations that have been taking here and in the UK and indeed around the world as a result of the tragic death of Sarah Everard. One of those that was speaking at the meeting yesterday was the chief executive of the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre, Nolene Blackwell. Nolene is with us on the line now. Nolene, good afternoon and thanks very much for speaking to us this lunchtime. Can you just give us an overview of exactly what happened at the Assembly yesterday and what contributions you made?
Yeah, so the first thing was, it was great in the first place that the Citizens Assembly recognised that there was a place for discussing gender-based violence in the context of gender equality. So they have been looking at a whole lot of issues over the months. Care for children, care for older people, women, gender pay gaps, things like that. And yesterday was devoted to the citizens looking at papers that six expert organisations, including ourselves, had put into the citizens. And then we took part in discussion panels where we were asked some questions and then the Assembly citizens themselves discussed what they were going to come up with. We were asked to identify why it was that gender-based violence was relevant to gender equality and what were the things that were needed to advance gender equality. So we were one of six organisations, as I say. We were on a panel with the Men's Development Network and with Safe Ireland. Others who were also part of it were Women's Aid and the Rape Crisis Network of Ireland. So there was like just a range of topics, but pretty well, Gavin, we were all coming at it from much the same perspective, that actually the areas of intimate violence, we could say, or hidden violence, are areas that are now kind of coming to the fore in all sorts of ways, and that they need to be addressed in a comprehensive way, because this affects an awful lot of people in our society. An awful lot of people have suffered some form of sexual violence, domestic violence, or other gender-based violence. An awful lot of them have not felt it was safe for them to report it, even to say it sometimes. And so it's kind of one of those hidden areas. But it's really important, because until there is such time as full recognition of the need for equality between the genders in the domestic area, in the area of relationships and intimate relationships, we will never actually achieve full equality.
I'm just struck by that observation you made, that some people still don't even think that it's safe or appropriate to even report it. And it strikes me that it's very difficult to even get to the root of the problem or to even know how prevalent it is when you can't compile full or reliable stats if you have cases where it happens so regularly and it doesn't even get reported to the authorities.
Yeah, and we haven't been collecting the stats in the way we should have been as a nation. So, for instance, Dublin Rape Crisis Centre puts out statistics every year showing that the range of people contacting us is growing, and we give some of the trends that we know about. But that's only for the people who know to contact us or to contact one of the other 15 rape crisis centres around the country. And the truth is, we have fallen down badly in terms of collection of national statistics, because if we knew the up-to-date national statistics, we would know whether it is reasonable or not that the Gardaí only took about 3,000 reports of offences in 2019. Now, we take more reports every single year on the helpline, which we run. We run the National 24-Hour Helpline. Mm. So there's a real good chance that's a tiny percentage of those who've been victims of this kind of crime. But until we get the up-to-date statistics, now, to the credit, so the last reliable statistics on this were published in 2002. And, you know,
this was the first of the SARI surveys, was it, that there hasn't
been
a repeat
since? Yeah, exactly. It was the first and only SARI study done. But the Central Statistics Office has started on a project about a year ago where they are going to update and get new information. But that won't emerge until 2022, 2023 at the earliest, and it's probably been knocked back by COVID as well, because you can't just rock up to somebody at the door and say, have you been a victim of domestic or sexual violence? It's hard for people to sometimes even admit it to themselves. And very often they're talking about someone they know. And so the way in which they're asked is very important as well. But the lack of statistics means that we are kind of at sea in knowing how to actually end the problem or even reduce it.
This may seem like a very silly question to a lot of female listeners, and I'm very conscious that this is where our own kind of gender roles come into play. But it's one thing to maybe feel inhibited about calling the likes of an agency like your own in the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre or your companion centres across the country. What would inhibit a potential rape victim about going to the Gardaí and reporting that and allowing the ball to get rolling on a full criminal investigation?
Yeah, so if somebody's reporting to us, they know they're reporting into an independent, confidential, non-judgmental space where they can be satisfied that they will get a respectful hearing and that the issue will be taken seriously. Now, reporting to the Gardaí and going into the justice system is a whole different ball game. And the truth is that actually reporting these crimes and going through the investigation and prosecution of these crimes and going to trial is a difficult process. And that's not because there aren't good people in the system. Like, for instance, the Gardaí, while there's a lot still to be done, the Gardaí have massively improved the way that how they investigate these crimes. But the truth is that because these crimes were hidden, because they were really treated as something that people should deal with in their homes. I mean, until 1990, it was not a crime for a man to rape his wife. Do you know, it was perfectly acceptable in law that a man could rape his wife and there'd be no consequences. So it's an area where we're given to understand it, both our all legal systems, all faith systems tended to treat this as private. So our justice system is absolutely not built to actually hear this type of crime, where somebody is reporting some of the most intimate actions about their most intimate self and about the most intimate harm, where often the damage can be lifelong to their emotional, to their psyche, but it may not be visible to somebody. And they're reporting into a man, and mostly it's women, and they're reporting into a man-made system. And I use that word like on purpose.
In both meanings, yeah.
Yeah, and at the moment, that system is not well, it is not well made. And in a report that issued from Tom O'Malley of NUI Galway, who's kind of the country expert on this, he recognised that those reporting into the justice system may, even if they've no other vulnerability at all, may be made vulnerable simply by the circumstances of having to make that report, of having to report into a system that very often disbelieves them, and where a lot of cases will depend on the credibility of the person reporting rather than the behaviour that caused the report to happen in the first place.
This is something I was very much struck by when I heard Susan Keogh talking to Holly Ryan, who's a consent advocate on News Talk Breakfast this morning. Holly herself was the victim of a serious assault along these lines, only about a minute from her house. And one of the things that struck me was not only just how terrible it was to have to endure that whole process, but that when she went to the Gardaí and she was there with her father, in the middle of her giving her own evidence and, you know, speaking her own truth around what had happened to her, the Garda interrupted her and asked not her, but asked her father whether there might have been too much to drink on the occasion. What does that say about the way in which our system is structured?
So that's one of the things. So to be fair, I thought she was really measured and excellent when
she
heard her this morning as well with Susan Keogh. But that is one of the things that the person knows they will be going into that, because the other question she was asked was what she was wearing. And when she said she was wearing over the knee boots.
Yeah. And it was just written down as just being boots.
Yeah. The guard said, I would just say, but that really just goes to show what the problem is. Because for that guard, he was interpreting how she was dressed as as a provocative way, which in some way might diminish the crime of being attacked on the street by an unknown stranger. So it may very well be that in the course of an investigation, and Holly Ryan said this, she said she knew that it might be relevant how much she had to drink if it came to trial, because, you know, her memory might be questioned on it. But in truth, the other point about what she was wearing had no relevance whatsoever to the questioning. But we know that that kind of questioning still takes place. I mean, we even know that if somebody tells somebody in their own society, in their own family, very often the reaction will be, what were you wearing? How did you provoke the person? Why were you in that place? Why were you in that space? So it's ingrained in our society to try to minimize that behavior by saying the victim was part of the problem.
Well,
in fact, she wasn't.
This is the one thing that I wanted then to come to you to discuss, and this is something which has prompted a little bit of pushback among certain quarters online this week, because just as we saw Sarah Everard's own name tweeting and believe women, and I believe her and I stand with her and I remember her, there was also the not all men trope, because a lot of people would still go down the view of that victims, if they have dressed provocatively or if they have had about some amount to drink, that they do end up making themselves more vulnerable. And you have a large cohort of men who don't feel like it is their responsibility, as long as they behave appropriately, that they can't be held to blame or that they don't contribute to a culture where other women don't feel safe. What do you say back to them?
Yeah, and I say to them, this actually isn't about them. It's not about a single man. Of course, there are many, many men who actually understand the problem. And there are many more who will not engage in inappropriate behaviour. But what women were talking about online this week, about the fear that the extra layer of precautions, every woman, almost every woman, anyway, I can't say every woman for sure because I'm not certain, but every woman I have ever met understands, and you don't even have to discuss, the extra layer of precautions that women know they have to take for no better reason than that they are girls or women, young or old, that there is a vulnerability because they are at risk of violence. And that risk of violence is not from a named man who puts up the hashtag, not all men, but from a way in which men are permitted to behave, to talk, to understand their own sense of entitlement. So I was doing a piece in response to all of that, recognizing that it is fair enough to say not all men do that, but we really need a longer hashtag that goes along the lines of not all men, but I want to be part of the solution, because men have to do more than just be complacent that they themselves wouldn't do that, and also to know what it is they wouldn't do, because what is interesting is that men don't know what women know about that sense of vulnerability, because boys aren't taught it growing up. Girls don't even remember where they heard that. They'll remember maybe a teacher making a comment. They might remember a parent passing a comment on how they dress when they go out. But they don't know, but it's deeply ingrained. And there is that sense in which you do hear that not all men, but you do also hear, can you not take a laugh? I didn't mean anything by it. I was only just joking. Not recognizing that behavior that comes out of a general way in which men are brought up or were brought up to feel entitled to engage in intimate banter or intimate touching with a woman is, unless it's consensual, it's wrong, you know, because it is often a prelude to more serious violence.
Certainly food for thought. Nolene, we will let you go. Thank you very much for joining us this lunchtime. That's Nolene Blackwell, the Chief Executive of the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre, joining us this lunchtime on The Record on News Talk.